The new edition of Cranes has hit our doorstep here, and on the front cover, Matching the Machine, Augmented Reality has the potential to boost business productivity. Interesting look at automation, but also talking about sports in a general sense. Mary Kramer joining us live. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Guy.
I love this chapter of history with the Joe Louis Arena.
And
kind of the forgotten history that they went ahead and built it. They literally said, if we build it, they will come.
And Guy, it's an interesting, this is an op-ed, it's a guest essay by Bob Berg, who was Coleman Young's press secretary and was with Coleman Young for many, many years. And I think people have in their minds, lots of people in Metro Detroit, who Coleman Young was. And they have very strong opinions, pro or con. He actually had a lot of great business sense and a lot of great business connections. And so this little chapter that Bob writes about is, at the time, the Lions had already left, the Pistons had left, there was only one pro team besides the Tigers in town, and the Red Wings were looking at, they had already said they were looking at an arena next to the Palace, next to the Silver Dome in Pontiac. So Coleman Young used federal money and started digging where Joe Louis is today. And the rest is history. Actually, it was other business people in town brokered a connection between the mayor's office, the mayor, and the owner of the Red Wings, Bruce Norris. And they negotiated a deal, and they kept the Red Wings in Detroit, which is kind of an amazing, forgotten chapter.
And well, you're also bringing up the whole issue of the lack of female executives in pro sports. I've got a friend who's an official with the Big Ten, and she does a great job. And we see it more in college athletics, where Title IX has had an influence, but we haven't seen it much, especially in our Detroit pro sports teams, have we?
Yeah, and Bill Shea, who does a terrific job covering sports for Cranes Detroit Business, he looked at what the National Football League, the other leagues. They're encouraging the teams to get out in front of this and interview more women for top jobs. And in the local area, there are not a lot of women, and the women that are there are usually the head of HR or the head of marketing, not really in the operations, the direct operations of the respective sports. So, but among the teams, it's the Detroit Lions, in part thanks to the ownership by Martha Firestone Ford, who lead the four pro sports teams that we have here in terms of the percentage of women in the front office. It's 25%.
Well, and a lot of the front office jobs, frankly, are in the legal realm. I mean, they are enforcing contracts, drawing up contracts, not just with the players, but with vendors, with licensing agreements, things like that. So it's not as if you have to be a sports aficionado and have come up through the sports ranks. It's contract law.
Right, and a lot of times what you'll find is there are more women in the finance side too, because that directly relates to the contract area. So, yeah, it's a good look, and we have a kind of a roster on page 16 of who the women are at the pro sports teams and what their roles are, and an interview also with former Oakland Raiders CEO Amy Trask. I mean, she led that team as CEO from 1997 to 2013. That's an incredible run.
Well, you don't think about that. We know what Ralph Wilson, and I've met a few of them. Ralph Wilson had several women in his organization put in various spots in the Buffalo Bills, but we don't think of that as being one of our Michigan teams.
Right.
You're also asking about what the future is for the Detroit Jazz Festival, and we know that Gretchen Vallade has been the guardian angel of that event for years and years, but asking, you know, at what point do we cut those apron strings?
Well, actually, you know, it's an interesting story because the festival and Gretchen are trying to position the festival as something that still needs support, still needs sponsorship support. The budget for the festival, which is always over Labor Day weekend, it's the largest free jazz festival in the world. It's almost $5 million this year. I mean, they do have to pay the performers. There's a tremendous amount of cost in the various stages downtown and all the other things that go into the Jazz Fest. But the biggest mistake that they made, and Gretchen Vallade would be the first person to say this, is they shouldn't have said in 2005 that she established an endowment to help support the festival, people started thinking, including corporate sponsors, oh, they're taken care of. She's gonna handle that. When in fact, that the $15 million she set up as an endowment really doesn't generate enough income to come close to covering that $5 million budget. So it's a good story, and it's kind of something that other nonprofits can learn from, too.
All right. Well, Mary Kramer, we will read all about it in the Cranes Detroit Business this morning that's already on our doorstep, all that. Plus, learn about what augmented reality is.
It's an interesting story, and there's a lot of companies locally engaged in it.
It's fascinating, and if you love corned beef, there could be a merger and an acquisition coming up that will change what you get between the bread. And we'll watch for that as well. Mary,
okay.
You have a great week. Thanks
Thank
so much.
Thank you, guys.
And Mary Kramer is brought to you by Varnum Law, business law experts that are in your corner. Visit varnumlaw.com.